Okay, so today's daf is daf Lamed Hey. We'll start in the bottom of Lamed Dalet Amid Beis at the two dots. So the Mishnah said, Ze Omer Shel Av. I'm sorry, the Gemara begins with the following scenario. Ze Omer Shel Avosai. One man says, this piece of land or this boat belonged to my fathers. It was my father before it was his father's, before it was his father's. I've inherited it from them. Zelmer, and another person is claiming, Shalavosai. No, it hasn't been your father's for generations. It has been my father's for generations, and I've inherited it from my father's. So there's now a big dispute. Who is the owner? So, Amar Rav Nachman said, we don't have a way to prove who's the owner. Called Alim Gvar. Whomever is stronger, he's the one who wins. We let them fight it out, and the one who fights harder for it, it's his. So what's pshat in that? We're just going to allow the rule of the jungle. So as I mentioned briefly yesterday, Rush explains that the idea behind called Alim Gvar is that a person who owns it, he would work much harder for it. So we have a presumption that the guy who's in the middle of the scrum and fiercely fighting for it, it's his, because people fight harder for that which is theirs. The person who knows it's not his, he's a thief at the end of the day. So he's going to fight, but when he sees the other guy fighting harder, he's going to give up. So that's a way to figure out who really owns it by seeing who fights harder for it.
The size has nothing to do with it. Then. I mean, the Ganav could be 5 times
that's
bigger.
That's a good point, right? The Ganav might even be bigger.
Yeah.
But so according to the Rush, it sounds like even if the Ganav is bigger, but a person who's a real owner, he's going to fight much harder for it. And the person who's not the real owner is not going to fight as hard for a variety of reasons. Number one, he knows it's not really his. Also, he figures, why should I fight so hard? The other guy might, because it's really the other guy's, he might come with witnesses, he might have a deed, then I lose it. So why should I fight so hard for something which isn't really mine?
Is this Jew to Jew?
Yes.
Okay. Right, it's almost like you bring something to court and they say, take it out of court, take it outside?
Basically, yeah, that's another way of understanding called Alam Gvar. You could understand the idea of called Alam Gvar that we learned back in Masechet Bava Kama. There's something called Dani Nishtin L'Nafshe. A person can take the law into his own hands. And so maybe the court says, okay, you can take it into your own hands.
And in this scenario, does it matter if one of them is on the land or one not, or either or both on the land? Doesn't matter? I mean, clearly neither of them is a Morakama, because that would be a proof. But
right, no one's there.
So no one's
no
there.
No one's there. Exactly, nobody's there. Asks Gemara Maishna, so why do you have this amazing halacha of fight it out? What about all these other scenarios where we also had doubts about money, and we didn't say fight it out? So, for example, Shnei Shtaros Hayotzim Biyom Echad, two deeds of a present, both dated on the same day. So, one deed says that Yaakov gave the field to Reuven. The other deed says that Yaakov gave the field to Shimon, and they're both dated on Aleph Adar. So we don't know who's the real owner. Now, a deed only takes effect at the end of the day. So even though one was signed earlier than the other, we don't care about that, because the deed takes effect at the end of the day. We don't put hours into the deeds. Only in Yerushalayim they did. So we don't know who's the real owner.
Sorry.
What's that?
They have to say Adar Aleph or Adar Bet, correct?
Yeah, yeah. So, Rav Amar Yachloku, Rav said that in that case they divide it. Ushmuel Amar Shuda Dedaini. Then Shmuel said the judges have discretion, judicial discretion. They can figure out, who was a closer friend. Was Reuven a closer friend? Or was Shimon a closer friend? And assume that that's the one that he really meant to give it to, and that's the one who gets it.
Was the assumption that one is false, or they're both assumed to be correct? I mean, legal. I mean, done, proper.
Maybe they're both proper.
Yeah.
Maybe they can give it twice.
So what are they arguing about exactly? I mean, who's somebody? I mean, it was given willingly by the donor to both of them, right?
But he didn't say that. He didn't say you get half the field. He didn't say you get half the field. He said, I give you a shtar of the whole field. And he gave someone else a shtar for the whole field. So one worked and one didn't work. That's the view of Shmuel. And Rav says that what you're saying, that he must have meant to give it to both. They both get it.
And the other side is what? What's the argument on the other side?
If he would have meant that they both get it, he should have said, you get half the field and you get half the field. So clearly he's trying to give to one. We just don't know who that is. The documents don't tell us, so let the court figure it out. Who's a closer friend? Who did he probably mean to give it to?
I don't know, but he got kesef from both of them?
The court. That's an interesting question. The court's not allowed to get kesef.
No, I know, but the seller, the owner.
Oh, it wasn't a sale, it was a gift.
Oh, it was a matana.
Matana, yeah.
Baruch, we want matana. Baruch.
All right.
So why don't we say over there, kol dalim gvar, let's say whomever... Whomever is stronger should be the one to win. So the Gemara says, "Hasam lekam lomekam alada milsa." In the case of two deeds of gift, both dated the same day, it's impossible to ever figure out what's the truth. This is our documentation. So either what it means is that it's split, or we'll figure it out. But we'll just choose based on our assessment. The court is that is we'll choose. But over here, when I say it belonged to my fathers for generations, and you say it belonged to your fathers for generations, so one of us is saying the truth and one is clearly lying. I may not have a proof now, but it could be that 3 weeks from now someone's going to call me and give me a proof. I'll give you an example. About 2 years ago, a person called me. He was related to a relative of mine, so he knew who my family was. He said he was in an auction house. He saw that they were auctioning off the personal letters of my mother's great-great-grandfather. Wow. So he bought it, and he gave it to me as a gift. So I have these 120-year-old letters from at the time, it was Tsarist Russia. And included in there is the deed of the family to a plot of land in Kovno. So now I have a deed from 120 years ago to something in Kovno. I didn't know about it my whole life, and suddenly it came up. So if a court, one guy says, this is the, Reichman family plot, and the other one says, no, it was the Schwartz family plot. So no one has a proof. But the court, if it decides, can be shown up, because someone can now come later with a deed. There is proof available. They just don't have it. It's not like there is a plot which was given as a gift by the same giver to two men. So then we'll never be able to figure that out. But here, there is new information that might come out that could then prove who it is. So the court doesn't want to get involved in making a decision here, because then it could turn out to be looking foolish. So here it says, okay, we step away and let them fight it out. But in regards to, because we don't want to look foolish, but in regards to a man who gave a gift of the field to two people, there's no new information that's going to come out. So now the court decides. Either it decides to 50-50 split, or it decides, who they think really was the rightful owner based on all sorts of other types of evidence. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When they give this matana, now,
right.
Do you have to have any edim?
Yeah, they're witnesses.
That's a bit witnesses.
Right.
It's like I'm giving you, my will. If the will was being written, I know there is no death on the shtar. But the one hand we say it was signed at 1 o'clock p.m.
That doesn't work in shtaros. In shtaros, they don't care about when it was signed. As long as the date. It's all the same date.
If
they have hours... Right, but we don't write hours into the shtar. We follow the day. So the Gemara now asks, what about the follow? If you have this way of resolving disputes, which is legitimate, which is let them fight it out, why is this any different from the following Mishnah? The Mishnah says, Hamachlif para bechamor, back in Bava Kama, if there was a business deal of somebody's bartering a cow for a donkey, and so I gave him the donkey, and when he pulled my donkey, so now his cow became mine. But I haven't yet picked up the cow, but it's my cow through the barter. So now I go over to his stable to pick up my cow, and I see Vialta, there's a, not only a cow, there's a baby there. Or Amocha Shivchaso, he sells his slave, his female slave. I give him Kasef. I don't yet get, you know, I haven't yet picked up the slave, but now the slave is mine because it's nicknamed a Kasef. And Yalda, by the time I go there to do the Meshicha, there is a baby slave too. So Zeomer, so the seller says, Atshalom Macharti Yalda. Before the deal went through, that's when there was the birth of the cow or the birth of the slave. The Zeomer, whereas the buyer says, Mishlakachti Yalda. No, first there was the purchase. I pulled, you pulled my thing, and your thing is now mine. Then it gave birth. So I'm claiming it's mine. He's claiming it's his. So yachloku. So they should divide it. So here it's, you know, it's a situation where we're never going to find out later what it was. It's not going to. There were no witnesses. We don't know what's going to be later. So why don't you say let them fight it out, like Rav Nachman said over here? Let them fight it out. So the Gemara says, Haslam, in regards to the exchange, Lahai Isle Drara de Mimona, Ulahai Isle Drara de Mimona. So there, this one has some monetary connection, and this one has a monetary connection. So therefore, it makes sense to say, let them divide it. Because certainly they both have a legitimate claim. The buyer was buying it. There's a connection between him and this slave that he's buying. Question is, when did the slave give birth? Did it give birth before he bought it? Did it give birth afterwards? But there is a connection that he has. And the other one has a connection. He was the Marakama. He was the first owner. He had it. It was certainly his. And then the question is, did it give birth while it was still his? Or did it give birth after it left his domain? So each one has a monetary attachment. One certainly owns it now. Certainly owns the slave now, one certainly owned the slave before. So there is a certain monetary bond. So when there's a certain monetary bond, it makes sense to say we should divide it. However, hacha, but when I claim this has been my family's field for the last 200 years, and you claim it's been your family's field for the last 200 years, so we have mutually exclusive claims. It's not that we both certainly have a bit of a bond. I'm claiming it's all mine, you're claiming it's all yours. Idamar, if my story is true, lo demar, it's not the other man's. Idamar, if his story is true, lo demar, it hasn't been mine ever, and it never was mine, if he's right. So that's why we don't say there, let's split it up. Rather, there we say, let them fight it out. So if we look at the Rashbam, he spells this out as well. He said, Hus back on Laman Hamad. Aleph Hasam over there got Be'amachlif Parah B'chamor in the exchange of the cow for the donkey. Letarvayu Islu Drar B'mona. They both have a monetary connection. Shapara Vashivcha Shal Shneim Haisa. Because the cow or the maid did belong to both. B'zeachazeh, one after the other. Therefore, Kol Echad V'Echad Toin, each one can claim. Parasi, it was my cow or it was my Shivcha. That Yalda gave birth be Yasa Birshusi when it was in my domain. Inami Bishas Khalip in Yalda. Or maybe it even gave birth while there was the exchange happening. Vein Levar Shalmi Avlad. We can never figure out who it belonged to. Hilkoch Yachloku. Therefore, it makes sense to divide it. But over here, Aval Hachmad Rav Nachman. But over here, in the case of Rav Nachman, going to the last Rashbam on Lamad Hamad Aleph, Idamar Lo Damar. If I'm claiming it was mine, that means it never was yours. And if your claim is right, it was never mine. Therefore, we have to just leave it for a fight, and we don't say, let them divide it. That's the view of the Rashbam. Okay, let's continue to the next sukya. The Gemara now deals with this issue of money that we can't figure out who it belongs to. I'm claiming it's my field for the last 200 years. You're claiming it's your field for the last 200 years. And neither of us have a proof. So the halacha was, Rav Nachman said, let them fight it out. So what happens if a third person jumps in and he grabs it? So Ami Nahardai said, Im ba echad min ashuk. If a third person comes, v'hechzik ba, and he grabs the field, ein motzi no sami yado. We can't take it away from him, because to take away from a thief, someone has to claim it's mine. Prove it's his, but no one can here prove it's his. Maybe it doesn't belong to either of them. No one has a proof that it's there, so we can't take it away from the thief. So what's the proof? To Tani Reb Chiya, Reb Chiya taught in a brisa, Gazlan Shel Rabin, the person who steals from the community, steals from a bunch of people. Lav Shmei Gazlan, a court's not going to force him to disgorge what he has, because nobody can prove that he took their thing. You know, he took money that belongs to one of the people. We don't know who it was. So who can force him to give it up? So Rav Ashi said, La'olam, if another person would come in and grab this field that the two people are fighting over, even though neither of them has a proof and neither of them is holding on to the field, Shmei Gazlan, that third person we know is a thief because he has certainly no claim, and we would take it away from him and then go back to the fight over it. Umay lo Shmei Gazlan. So what did Reb Chiya mean that if somebody steals from a group of people and we don't know from which of that group the item belonged to, he's not a thief in the sense of lo nitan lehishavon. He can't fulfill the mitzvah of Ashavas Hagzela, of returning the stolen object, because he doesn't know who he stole it from. But in terms of what Bezin will do, Bezin will take it away from him, and Bezin will go back to the process of, all right, let's fight it out, called Dalam Gvar. The stronger one should win. Yeah, question time.
Is there a case back, I thought it was in Bava Kama maybe, where someone steals something, he doesn't know who it's from.
Yes.
And maybe there are 10 people.
Yes.
Or like
Bava Kama, Kuf Gimel Amud Beis.
And they have to pay all of them.
And it doesn't pay all. No, it's in the footnote. It's here in the footnote. It's in the footnote. I didn't know it by memory. It's in the footnote here.
I don't have that footnote.
No, it's here in the footnote. So,
I thought he pays all of them in that situation. Or at least his opinion.
Well, he doesn't pay. There was an opinion he pays all, but the halacha was that he puts it down in front of them and he lets them fight it out. He puts it down in front of the fight, in front of them, and he lets the five of them, right, that's right.
And so Rabbi Tarfon's opinion was what?
In that case? He puts it down in front of them and lets them fight it out. Rabbi Akiva says you give to all five.
You give to all five, and then we hold like Rabbi Tarfon in that case?
Yes.
Against Rabbi Akiva.
Yeah, but there we knew who he knows from that it's at least from one of these five, right?
But here he knows he stole from one, at least one of these two. So,
well, he doesn't. We don't know that it was theirs.
I thought the whole premise of the Gemara is you know it's one or the other.
No.
So
we don't know. We don't know. They're claiming, right? We have no reason not to think that it's one of them. But maybe it's not. They don't have any proof.
200 years, you know, somebody must have proved it in between.
But they don't. Right? They're not bringing any documentation. They're not bringing any documents. They're not bringing any documents. So now going back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that items that produce fruit constantly, cheskasan, what is the chazaka of a person being there without a protest against him that would prove that it's his? Shaloshanam yom liyom, 3 years. Amar Rab Abba said, idali le'iu gufe tzana deperi, if the witnesses though testify that the man who's now protesting after, let's say, a year and a half, but first, for the first week, he himself was helping this squatter. He was loading up the baskets with fruit. He was lifting the baskets of fruit from the field and putting it on the shoulder of the squatter. So the altar abi chazak. So then it's a chazak after a week. Because no one is going to let somebody else just take their fruit and they themselves will participate in the taking of the fruit. No, that's a proof that he sold it to him.
Maybe he was just renting it.
1 second, the Gemara will talk about that. Amar Rav Zvid. Rav Zvid then said back, Im tan v'amar, but if the owner, the original owner, the man who's protesting now after 2 years, so we say back to him, but you can't protest because right at the very beginning, you yourself were helping the man with the work. He says, well, of course I was helping. The payros haraditiv, because it was, he was my sharecropper. I was letting him take some of the fruit. So Naaman, he is believed. But Hanimida, this is only true, toch shalosh. He can claim that he was my sharecropper within the 3 years. But if the man was there for 3 years, lo, he's not believed anymore to claim he was the sharecropper. So Rav Ashi said to Rav Kahana, so let's say you made a deal with someone to be your sharecropper for 5 years. But now you're stuck. But what do you expect him to do if you say that after 3 years already, you can't claim he's the sharecropper? Amar Leis, he explained. He has to protest. He has to get the word out there. He has to say, no one should think that the man who's taking the fruit is the owner. He's not the owner, it's mine. But I let him come in here to take the fruit because we made a deal. He's the sharecropper. They must not have had a stock, right? They must not have had a contract.
What does that hold up to 3 years?
Have a stock.
It doesn't have to hold up to 3 years, that's the point.
Yeah, I know, but...
What's the question, Todd?
We talked about previously a situation where it's customary, right. a land sure. where it's customary to have sharecroppers and a land where it's not customary to have right. sharecroppers. If this is a land where it is customary to sharecroppers, right. would the person have to lodge a protest since it should be assumed that the person who he's giving fruit to is a sharecropper?
I think he still would if it's 3 years. After three, because... It's true that it's customary to have sharecroppers. It's also customary to sell land and for people to live there. So 3 years with no protest is the equivalent of a deed of sale that a person bought it. So, you'd have to lodge the protest. Now, if you're not going to say this, that this partial type of protest, where you're not saying the guy's a thief, you're just saying he's the sharecropper, it doesn't work. Then Hani Mashkanta de Surah. How did the sages create the Mashkanta de Surah arrangement? The Mashkanta de Surah, the Surah collaterals where people said, okay, somebody borrows money and the lender gets a security, gets a field from the borrower, and he then has the right to take the produce, and once the yields that he collects are enough for the loan that he lent, so now he gives back the field, and he's been paid back. So now, in those documents, they write, Chasav Bahu, it's written, B'mishlam Shnaya Ilin, when these number of years are completed, Tepuk Arada, this land will go back below Kesef without any money, without the original owner buying it, or without the original owner paying anything back for the loan, because the loan was paid back by virtue of all the crops. So Hachanami de Mehemet, are we going to say that the lender is going to be able to stay on a field like this because he had the rights to take the produce, and he's going to be believed if he's going to claim of Cheska Shaloshanim? Would it be that Misakni Rabbanan Midi Da Asi Beli De Pseida? The rabbi is going to set up an institution that is rife for abuse? Ella, so what do we say? No, it's not that the rabbi's created a bad situation. The borrower should be protesting. Every 3 years, the borrower should be registering. But I want you to know, even though so-and-so is on my field, it's because I borrowed money, and he's taking the payment back through the harvest of the field. But it's not that I sold him the field, and he has the chazaka. So Hanami here too, he should have been protesting. And this protest against the sharecropper would work. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda said the name of Rav. However, Haba Machmas Oved Kochavim, if somebody, if a guy buys a field from me, or if a guy is squatting on a field for 3 years, or it was my field originally, and now there's a Jew there, and the Jew claims he got it from a guy, and he's been here for 3 years with no protest, the Jew who buys from a guy is like the guy himself. If a guy is on my field for 3 years without my protesting, that's not a chazaka. Why? Because I'm afraid to protest with the guy. The guyim are rough. I'm scared to start up with them. So therefore, it's not a proof of the fact that he's been here with no protest that it's his. So therefore, just like Ovid Kochav, Ein lo chazaka, Ela Bishtar, the only proof that it's his would be he has to have the document. Af Yisrael, Abba Machmas Ovid Kochavim. So if a Jew bought from the guy, Ein Lo Chazaka, Ela Bishtar. He would only have a Chazaka if he has the document of purchase, but not if he merely was there for 3 years with no protest. Thank you.